Last time, Mike, we discussed UFO sightings in the U.S. state of Michigan and wondered why the state consists of two peninsulas. Well, today we're exploring why that is the case, and the story is way more wild than I could have imagined.
Our thanks to everybody who sent this in after our last episode, demanding that we cover it. This includes Matthew, Jack, Aaron, Sarah, Rashawn, Duncan, Jenny, Harrison, and Adam.
Shall we dive in?
I think we should. The people demand it.
So we must go back to 1835, when a dispute broke out between the U.S. state of Ohio and the territory of Michigan. This was 2 years before Michigan was admitted to the country as a state. And there was a disagreement over an area of land about 468 square miles in size, known as the Toledo Strip. This included the mouth of the Maumee River and the bay it formed at Lake Erie.
There's a lot of backstory here, but basically different maps had the line between Ohio and Michigan drawn in slightly different places due to a poor understanding of the local geography. Whoever controlled the river's mouth controlled trade in and out of the lake and the adjoining farmland.
Yeah, it's a big deal to have that access, right?
Yep.
In 1802, so we've got to back up a little bit, Congress passed the Enabling Act, which paved the way for Ohio statehood. Based on this legislation, those working on the Ohio Constitution believed that the government's intention was that Ohio's northern boundary should certainly be north of the mouth of the Maumee River and possibly even north of the Detroit River. This would have given all of Lake Erie's shoreline west of Pennsylvania to the new state, with no shorefront access reserved for future states.
About this time, it was discovered that Lake Michigan extended farther south than previously had been believed, which meant that Ohio would lose a sizable chunk of land and shoreline access had the original intent been followed.
Again, this wasn't a well-mapped area. It's like, oh, there's a lake here. To fix this, the draft Ohio Constitution was amended to angle the state boundary line so as to intersect Lake Erie at the, quote, most northerly cape of the Maumee Bay, to ensure the state had access to Lake Erie. This was submitted to Congress for approval, but it was decided that the northern boundary depended on a, quote, fact not yet ascertained, and it basically punted the entire issue down the road.
That was mostly fine until 1805, when Congress created the Michigan Territory and defined its boundary using the provisional language that was never approved. This set things up for a political and legal conflict, and as early as 1812, the Ohio state government asked the federal government to settle the issue, but a land survey didn't occur until 1816. The result of that work gave the newly formed state of Indiana more territory at the expense of Michigan and put the Ohio state boundary north of the Maumee River.
This is when things get spicy. The man in charge of that survey was named Edward Tiffin. His previous job was being Ohio's first governor. So how could he be trusted with where the state line should go? Well, Michigan leaders called foul basically immediately, saying that Tiffin was biased towards his former state and that his work could not be trusted.
So Michigan hired John Fulton to carry out a second survey. As you could probably guess, his survey placed the state line south of the river.
Yeah, of course it did.
The strip of land between the lines was between 5 and 8 miles wide, and both states started to then claim jurisdiction over it. This primed the Toledo Strip for conflict.
John Fulton knew who was paying for his survey. He was going to put the line where they wanted it.
As they called him, John Michigan Man Fulton. They didn't call him that. They might have, but I don't know if they did.
This episode of Ungenius is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, you can start with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything, products, services, and even content. Squarespace has everything you need all in one place and all on your terms. Their Blueprint AI and SEO tools make it super easy to get started. You can start with a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then easily launch your website to get discovered quickly with integrated and optimized SEO tools. so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can also integrate flexible payments to make checkout seamless for your customers with simple and powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. With Squarespace, you can make the most of AI. Kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI, generating instant and personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get, short or long form text. No matter the placement, Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online. I've been building sites on Squarespace for 100,000 years, I think. And the reason I keep going back to it for project after project is that all these tools are built in and they work really well together. You can build almost anything with Squarespace and it's all just fluidly integrated. So when you're building a store, the checkout stuff is just right there and you can add it to your navigation and it picks up all your theming. It's all really easy so you can focus on what you need to in your business. Head on over to squarespace.com and sign up for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/ungeniused to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/ungeniused to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for the show. Our thanks to Squarespace for the support of Ungeniused and all of Relay FM.
So things started heating up when Ohio refused to give up control of the land, even as Michigan occupied it. Michigan set up local governments, collected taxes, and built roads in the area.
While this was going on, the Erie Canal was completed, only increasing traffic and trade in the Great Lakes. This made access to the water more important than ever, and it was compounded by the fact that there were plans for additional canals that would have connected the Great Lakes all the way over to the Mississippi River.
By 1833, Michigan's territory had grown large enough in population to be considered for statehood, but Congress rejected their request because of the dispute over the Toledo Strip. Ohio's congressional delegation played an active role in the rejection, obviously, which did not go over well.
In defiance of Congress, Michigan's territorial governor, Stevens T. Mason, went forward with work on a state constitution. And in 1835, Ohio passed legislation to set up counties in the disputed area.
Mason responded with the passing of the Pains and Penalties Act just 6 days later. I love the name of that.
What a name!
Just 6 days later, this made it a criminal offense for Ohioans to carry out governmental actions in the Strip under penalty of a fine of up to $1,000, which is equivalent to $30,000 today, and up to 5 years imprisonment at hard labor or both.
This set the stage for military action. Some 600 fully armed militiamen appeared in northern Ohio, just south of the Strip. Michigan responded by deploying 1,000 armed men intended to stop Ohio from taking over the disputed land.
At this point, U.S. President and duel-fighting enthusiast Andrew Jackson got involved. Ohio was an important state in federal politics. Jackson did not want a war on his hands. So on April 3rd, 1835, Jackson sent two representatives to Toledo to work on a compromise allowing citizens to choose their own state governments until Congress could settle the matter.
I have so many questions about what that would have looked like. Like, what if I decide to live in Michigan and my wife decides to live in Ohio?
It's like, was it like a referendum? Like the people there got to decide
probably that.
The winner? Probably that. Not like... I'm represented by this. Well, my son says this. Like, that would be strange.
Ohio leadership agreed to all this, but Mason, the guy running Michigan, he refused. And Michigan authorities threatened local leaders and citizens if they sided with Ohio. On April 8th, the Monroe County, Michigan sheriff arrived at the home of Major Benjamin Stickney, an Ohio partisan, and straight up arrested members of his family for supporting Ohio.
This went under the radar for a couple of weeks, but on April 26th, things took a turn for the worst when members of an Ohio-created survey team were attacked by 50 to 60 members of the Michigan militia.
This is known as the Battle of Phillips Corners, and there are still a lot of questions about what actually happened that day. The survey team claims they were resting as it was a Sunday, and that they were attacked and chased, with 9 team members being taken prisoner after some 30 to maybe 50 gunshots were fired.
Michigan claimed they fired no shots, only discharging a few musket rounds in the air as the Ohio group retreated. Whatever happened, it set the area ablaze, leading Ohio to pass more legislation and cementing its control over the area, even as Michigan applied for statehood despite Congress's earlier denial.
By the summer, things were getting out of hand. Rumors were floating around that 10,000 volunteers were ready to take up arms. More skirmishes took place, including a repeat of the arrest made earlier. This time, the major's family fought back, and one of his sons stabbed a deputy sheriff with a penknife.
Thankfully, the injuries were not serious, but the situation spiraled out of control, with Michigan's governor asking for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the disputed border. At the time, it was not established that the court had jurisdiction over state boundary issues, so the case was declined.
In August 1835, President Jackson removed Mason as Michigan's territorial governor. I think it was thought that Mason was basically making all this worse. And so we take him out of office, things will calm down. He didn't go quietly, though. On his way out the door, he ordered 1,000 militiamen into Toledo, but a local court stopped his action.
Mason's replacement didn't stay in power very long. His short term was marked with widespread hatred, with some burning him in effigy and others throwing food at him when he was in public. In the wake of this, the territory held elections that re-elected Mason as governor and appointed Michigan's first U.S. representative to Congress. He couldn't vote in Congress as Michigan was not yet a state, thanks to the ongoing conflict.
On June 15th, 1836, President Jackson signed a bill that allowed Michigan to become a state, with the condition that it gave the Toledo Strip over to Ohio. In exchange for this concession, Michigan itself would be granted the western three quarters of what is now known as the Upper Peninsula.
This offer was declined by territorial leaders, and the following year was one of chaos in the area. Michigan was nearly bankrupt because of the high militia expenses and ineligible for federal support due to its status as a territory. It still was not a state. As a result, in December 1836, delegates voted to accept Congress's terms to become a state. It had become untenable for them.
Even this was controversial, with many questioning the legality of the vote. But Congress wanted the matter to be settled and moved forward with the offer.
I think it's actually pretty cool that they got the same deal. Like, I mean, this is a scenario where they could have been strong-armed, I guess, but they weren't. In January 26, 1837, Michigan was admitted to the Union as the 26th state. The Toledo Strip was returned to Ohio control, and the entire Upper Peninsula was given to the new state of Michigan. Many saw this land as useless, as it was not suitable for farming, but it later became home to massive mining operations.
A little bonus for our friends in Michigan.
Not bad.
In 1915, questions were again raised about the exact placement of the state border after it was discovered the line set by Harris, who we talked about a couple of minutes ago. That line apparently deviated in some places to include or exclude certain residents near the border.
Thankfully, this didn't break out into war, and today, some original granite markers in the area can still be seen.
A war where one dude was lightly stabbed.
Well, I mean, that still counts. There was the people that were harmed in the big fight. What was it called? The Battle of Peter's Corner? Phillips Corner?
They just ran away. They were fine.
Gotta say, America, messy.
Yeah.
You know, getting that put together. You guys were messy when trying to work out your states. I didn't know a lot of this kind of stuff was happening. I just figured it was all set. I didn't know the fact that like states had to kind of like come together and be brought in.
Yeah, there's messy. A dozen of these stories, I'm sure. What jumped out at me was, we don't know if the Supreme Court can talk about this. I mean, the country's pretty new at this point. They're kind of still figuring it out.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it's all worked out. We have Ohio and Michigan both, and I think they live in peace. If you want to read more about the Toledo War, we have some links in the show notes. Relay.fm/ungenius/210. There you can submit feedback or follow-up. So if you have your own favorite Wikipedia topic you'd like us to consider for a future episode, drop us a link in that feedback form. You can also become a member and support Ungenius directly, which we really appreciate. Mike, until next time we lightly stab a dude, say goodbye.
I'm not involved in that at all. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.